My name is Sarah Yao, and I'm married to this amazing man right here. So Jonah and I have been part of this church for more than 12 years, I think. It's a long time. As Kevin said, that I've kind of had this word on my heart, and let's get into it. Earlier this year, I attended a women's semi-silent retreat. I was really looking forward to going and having some time alone with God, to read my Bible, pray, worship, be in his presence, just completely uninterrupted. That was organized by the wonderful Lin Chu, and it was amazing. But as a mum of three busy kids, a retreat like that is a rare treat. This weekend landed at the end of school term, and prior to this weekend, my three kids had been almost continually sick with colds and coughs for the past 6 weeks. Now, I love my kids, but I'm an introvert and I need time to myself. And because I hadn't had so much of that, I arrived at this weekend feeling very worn out and in much need of rest. So I spent much of the weekend just resting and sleeping, which is what I needed to, but I didn't get to spend the time alone with God in the way I was hoping to. Now, God knows everything, so I know he can't be disappointed. But after that weekend, I had this sense of disappointment inside. I felt like it was this wonderful opportunity to spend time with God. I had these big expectations about all the things I was going to do, but the weekend hadn't gone the way I was so hoping it would. One evening, I found myself struggling with this sense of disappointment, and I was reminded of the passage that was read this morning, the baptism of Jesus. When Jesus came up out of the water, the Spirit landed on him in the form of the dove, and the Father said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." The Passion Translation says, "This is the Son I love, and my greatest delight is in him." What stood out to me for the first time was this statement was made before Jesus had begun his ministry, before he had begun to teach the crowds, before he had done any miracles or healed anyone. The Father delighted in him, not because of anything he'd done, but simply in who he was, his beloved Son. This is how he feels about you and me. His delight in us is not because of what we have or haven't done, but simply because we are his beloved children. We are his greatest delight. My message today is entitled, The Father's Delight. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you are here this morning. I thank you that you love us so much. We love you, Lord. We just want to open our hearts to you. Lord Jesus, I just pray that you'll come and speak to each one of us personally, Lord. We want to know you more. And we just want to see more of your activity in our lives. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Since that evening, when I had that revelation about the words spoken by the Father at Jesus' baptism, I've had this word growing in my heart that I believe is for our church. And as I've listened to others here at church over the past few months, speaking about the love of God, the love of the Father, I can see that this topic is also on God's heart. I wholeheartedly believe that God wants us as a church to know and experience his love in a greater way. I know I want that. He wants us to know that he delights in us. Now, we have an enemy who doesn't want us to know this love. He doesn't want us to experience this love because he knows that this love is powerful, that it has the power to transform lives. And I believe that God is showing me that there are three barriers to receiving and knowing the love of God in a deeper way. And we're going to look at those three barriers this morning. The first barrier that we're going to look at is the barrier of believing we are simply not good enough, that we will never be able to earn his love. You might feel like you're walking on a tightrope, believing you've got to get it all right. You've got to tick all the boxes, and in this way, you'll earn his love and approval. I feel like that there are those who come to church on Sunday and you find it very hard to connect in worship because you find yourself going over and over your spiritual walk during the week, ticking off how many times you've opened your Bible, how much time you've spent in a disciplined quiet time. And every week you feel like you've failed, like you've come up short. So you think, why would God want to respond to me? Why would God answer my prayers? If that's you this morning, I have good news for you. God's love is not conditional. God's love is not conditional. Woohoo! Thanks, Joel. It doesn't depend on what you do or what you don't do, what you have or haven't done. It doesn't depend on what the mistakes you've made. It doesn't depend on how good a Christian you think you are. His love is totally and completely unconditional. Man's love is conditional, but God's love is unconditional. No strings attached. Father God chose to send his only Son so that he might have communion and intimacy with us. He offers us his love freely, and he gives us the choice to either accept or reject this love. 1 John, not John, 4 verse 10 says, "This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." John goes on to say in verse 19 that we love because he first loved us. God loving us was not our idea. Sorry, God loving us unconditionally was not our idea. It was his idea. Jesus paid the price so that we might know and experience God's love. And it's up to us whether we choose to accept or reject this free gift. The second barrier we're going to look at this morning is the barrier of silence. I believe that there are people who are experiencing the silence of God. For you, it feels like he is a distant, far-off God, someone who you pray to, not someone who you talk with. As time has gone on, you have interpreted that silence as disappointment. You believe that God is silent and feels distant because he's disappointed in you. I have good news for you this morning. This is a lie and couldn't be further from the truth. God loves you. He's for you, not against you. He knows everything, so it's impossible for him to be disappointed. I believe he wants you to know that he's silent because he's waiting for you to find him. Jeremiah 29 verse 13 says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart." It doesn't say you'll find me when you read your Bible and sing and come to church. There's no specific formula mentioned as to how you should seek him, only that you seek him with all of your heart. Maybe you've been spending time with God for years, reading your Bible and going to church every Sunday. And that's great. That's so important. I love this church. I love the Word of God. But sometimes, in order to find something, we have to change the way we search. Here's an example. My son Elijah loves to play with Lego. So one of the things he likes to do with me is choose one of his many Lego instruction booklets and build Lego together. Usually some sort of vehicle. My job is finding the Lego, and his job is building it. Well, in my day, Lego is mainly a lot of blocks, and the most interesting pieces were a door or a window. But since then, Lego has evolved in great strides. The pieces are more intricate and specific, and everything's gotten smaller. So my role is not that easy. When Elijah wants a specific piece amongst the hundreds of other little tiny pieces, well, it can be a mission. First, I hunt through the pieces hoping to find the right bit. If that doesn't work, I pick up half-built vehicles hoping to find it there. And if that doesn't work, I might have to start separating out the colours in search of the exact piece that he's looking for. If one way doesn't work, I have to change the way I search to find what I'm looking for. If you are experiencing God's silence, perhaps it's time to change the way you're searching for him. The Bible is full of ways to seek God, and this isn't an exhaustive list. Stillness, be still and know that I am God. Just can't read that. Shout, Psalm 98 verse 4, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Sing, Psalm 96 verse 1, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Dance, Psalm 149 verse 3 to 4, let them praise his name with dancing. Cry out to the Lord, Psalm 18 verse 6, in my distress I called to the Lord, I cried to my God for help. Prayer, James 5 verse 13 and 16, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. If any one of you are having trouble, pray. Fasting, Matthew 6 verse 17, but when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father, who is unseen, and your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Reading the Word, Psalm 119 verse 11, I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. And like I said, non-exhaustive list. This past Monday, I went to the gardens on a kindy trip with Daniel. And while there, we had a bit of a scavenger hunt, searching for various objects in the gardens. There's a joy and an expectancy when children are on a treasure hunt. They expect to find what they're looking for. And I believe this is how we are called to search for God. Expectantly, knowing we will find him. The third barrier we're going to look at is the barrier of fatherlessness. I believe there are people in this church who struggle to accept and receive the love of God because they haven't experienced the love of an earthly father. It's estimated that there are 140 million orphans in the world today. You may not be an orphan, but just because your father was physically present doesn't mean you received the love you needed. The perception you have of your own father will greatly affect how you see Father God and how you believe he thinks about you. I have three kids, and when I look at them, I take delight in them because they are mine. They don't have to do anything to earn my love and affection. It's mine to freely give. Did you know that this is how a heavenly father feels about you? He takes delight in you because he created you, and he wants to know everything about you. If there are areas of pain or emptiness because you experience less than the fullness of a father and the fullness of a father's love in your life, I have good news for you. God the Father wants to heal and fill those parts inside of you and be your Father. In Psalm 68 verse 5, it tells us that God is a Father to the fatherless. He wants you to know that he takes great delight in you and wants to give you a deeper revelation of his great love for you. He sees you this morning and he's smiling, so pleased that he made you and that you are his beloved child. In Luke 15, we find the parable of the lost son, and this story paints a picture of what God the Father is like. A father who is kind and humble, a father who expectantly waits for his wayward son to come home, and when this father catches a glimpse of his son, he runs to embrace him, so full of joy that his son is back. This is a picture of a father who longs to know and be known by his son. A father who is looking for a heart connection with his children. Next month, Jono and I have been married for nearly 14 years. Woo! Woohoo! Yeah, extra crunchies for Jono because he's had to put up with a lot. I can tell you, it wasn't love at first sight. Funny story. You can ask the story, but anyway. But I didn't marry him because he ticked all the boxes of what I was looking for in a husband. Or I didn't marry him because of his rugged good looks. I married him out of a response of my heart. When you accepted Jesus, you made a choice from your head, as well as a response from your heart. Did you know that God the Father longs to have a deep, heartfelt relationship with you? He invites each one of us into a father, son, or daughter relationship. He offers himself to each one of us to be the perfect, loving father that we all need. More than anything, this perfect father longs for a heart relationship with you and a heart relationship with me. Isn't that amazing? So why can it be so hard to accept this invitation? The Bible tells us in John 8 verse 44 that the enemy is a liar and the father of lies. He lies to me and he lies to you. He whispers them in our ears, and if we're not self-aware, we don't even notice it. Maybe he's been whispering in your ear, "You're not good enough. If God really knew you, he'd be so disappointed he made you. He's let you down before and he'll let you down again. You're too old. You're too tired. You've already tried and it didn't work. It's not safe." He will stand there and throw those lies like darts at a dartboard, hounding you down. Why? Because he's trying to create barriers to stop you knowing this love. Because the enemy knows the power of God's love. He knows it has the power to transform lives. I know this because his love transformed mine. About 2 years ago, I stood here and shared my journey of how God healed me from depression. I'm fine, I've got one to share. When my youngest was 1 year old, it became apparent that I had depression. My world went black as I realized this had been going on for almost 7 years and I had absolutely no clue. I would later learn that high-functioning depression had begun in my early teens and had been undiagnosed. So depression had become a normal passion in my life, something that raised its ugly head from time to time, but remained in the background for the most part. When I became a mum, the high-functioning depression escalated into major depression. With each child, the depression got worse. The pits got deeper and darker until crying, feeling overwhelmed and confused. Exhausted, barely coping, and living in a state of survival became the normal way to live. And I lived like that for about 4 years. Sorry, this wasn't part of the... I believe living this way was normal, that this was what being a parent must look like. My head told me this was the happiest time of my life. The dream of being married to Jono and raising a family, being a mum to our kids. But my heart was so full of pain and confusion as I navigated through the challenges of having children, desperately believing and hoping each day that life would get better. When we go through hard things in our lives, we run to something. We find a lifeline somewhere. So I did what I'd always done since I was a little girl. I ran to Jesus. I'd been raised in a Christian home and raised in church and regularly read and studied my Bible. But when I found myself hanging on to life with my fingernails, it was no longer enough. All my head knowledge about God was no longer enough. My heart cried out for something real, something to fill me in my most deepest parts. So I stopped sitting on the couch, reading my Bible and praying like I'd always done. Instead, any spare bit of time I had, I would go to my room, close the door, flip open my iPad to some worship music, and I would just worship, often with tears. I would dance, sing, cry, or be still. I didn't realize it then, but I was seeking God with all of my heart. I just did whatever I needed to feel close to Jesus, and this time was my lifeline. This was what sustained me through those years. I can tell you it was so vulnerable because I had nothing to offer God except tears and confusion. As I spent more and more time with him, his love would wash over me, and I'd get a greater revelation of his tender heart for me. On one hand, it was so amazing to experience God in this way. But on the other hand, it was also really scary, because as I spent more and more time in his presence, my heart began to stir. And I just have a quote from an American worship singer, leader. Some of us are afraid to face ourselves. We're afraid of what will happen. We're afraid of what will be unearthed in us. Because the closer we feel the presence come, the closer we get to him, the more stuff is stirred up, and we're like, hold on, I didn't know that was there, and I am not prepared to deal with this. But that will be the case on the journey. It's the kindness of God to bring it up at the right time. I was afraid to face myself. I was so afraid to lift the lid off and let God into those areas because I was so afraid of what I'd find. I was afraid of him rejecting me once he really knew me and knew all that was inside of me. My closed heart was full of questions like, if I opened up my heart, if I really let him in, what then? Do I really want to revisit the pain of the past? Can God handle all that's in my heart? What if it gets messy? What if all I find is my worst fears are confirmed? That he is disappointed in me? That I can never please him, that he's not as good as he says he is. What if he rejects me? No. Better to just keep a lid on things, push it down, ignore the stirring and try and pretend it's not there. But as hard as we might try, we can't hide anything from God. Hebrews 4 verse 13 to 15 says, there is not one person who can hide their thoughts from God. For nothing that we do remains a secret, and nothing created is concealed, but everything is exposed and defenseless before his eyes, to whom we must render an account. As hard as I tried, I got to a place where I could no longer keep my heart closed. So over time, I slowly let him into the deepest parts of my heart, the deepest part of who I am. And do you know what I found? Instead of experiencing rejection like I anticipated, I found his arms embraced me in the most loving way. His love transformed me from the inside out. It was in this process that I fell in love with Jesus. I fell in love with his word. I fell in love with his presence. It was like he had been waiting there all along for me to find him. This love began to heal the deepest places of my heart and transform me so that I can't go back to the way I was and I can't love God except passionately and with all my heart. In August 2016, nearly 3.5 years ago, this love revealed a lie I'd been believing since I was a little girl. And this love brought truth, which in turn healed me from the depression. Instead, I discovered a lightness and freedom I hadn't experienced before. John 8 verse 32 says, know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Do you want to know why the enemy works so hard, planting lies and keeping us bound in those lies? Because he knows that the truth will set you free. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus has come to set us free. I believe the lie that as a Christian, it wasn't okay to have problems. I believed I needed to earn his love. I believed that God the Father was judgmental and endlessly disappointed with me. I believed it was too risky to let him into the deepest part of who I am. But when I sought God with my whole heart, I found him. When I opened up my heart to the Father's love, I discovered a Father who loves and delights in me. When I chose to accept his free gift of grace and stop trying to earn his love, I found this is exactly what he was inviting me to do. I believe God gave me this word for our church today because he has helped me walk through these barriers and given me tools to continue to overcome them. His transforming love has changed me, and he wants me to share this good news with this church that he so loves, so that you too can know and experience the love of God in the way your heart longs to. Maybe this is you today. Maybe you struggle to accept the love of God because you believe you have to earn his love. Maybe you struggle to accept the love of God due to fatherlessness in your life. Maybe you are experiencing the silence of God because he's waiting for you to seek him with all of your heart. Or maybe you desire a greater revelation of his love. It doesn't matter what barrier you relate to. Jesus is here this morning, and he wants to remove any barrier that would separate you from knowing and experiencing his love in a deeper way, a love that has the potential to transform your life. This morning, I believe there is an invitation to a deeper revelation of the Father's love. For others, it is an invitation to enter into a journey with God that's real and authentic. One where we can boldly approach the throne of grace, not because of what we've done, but because of what he's done. Not because of our love for God, but because of his great love for us. His invitation is a longing of his heart that you would accept his offer. He delights in you. You are the Father's delight. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your great love for us. I thank you that you are not a far-off, distant God, but you are a Father who longs to have a heart relationship with each one of us. Thank you for sending your Son to give us access to the kind of relationship our heart longs for. A relationship with the Father who passionately loves each one of us. I thank you that this was your desire from the beginning. When you made the world, when you created us, you saw us and your heart just longed for us. You didn't want us to just know about you. You wanted us to know you personally. And you want to know us. It's so amazing that the God of heaven and earth, the one who created the stars, would just long for an intimate, heartfelt connection with us. Jesus, I thank you that you're here now through the power of your Spirit. I thank you that you know each person here. I thank you that you see them this morning. I thank you that you see their story. I thank you that you're involved in their life, whether they can see it or not. I thank you that you're reaching out to each person this morning, inviting them into a deeper relationship with you. A relationship that perhaps they've never thought about. A relationship that they may think is not even possible. But this is the invitation that you offer to each one of us. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would come and minister to our hearts now. Stir our hearts. Come and speak to us. Our hearts are open to you this morning to hear your voice. We invite you to reveal any hidden things in our hearts that you would want us to see clearly. Let your love wash over us this morning. Fill us with a deeper revelation of your great love for us into the core of who we are. Amen. So, as Kevin said, God gave me this word for the church, and I believe that he wouldn't have given me this word if there weren't people here who can't identify with those barriers that I've spoken of this morning. So maybe you are sitting there this morning and you can identify with one of these barriers that I've mentioned, and that you want to see that barrier removed from your life so that you can experience a deeper revelation of God's love for you, of the Father's love for you. The music team is going to come up and they're going to play. And if that's you, I'd like to invite you to respond to this invitation by coming forward. Maybe you don't identify with any of those barriers, but your heart longs for a deeper relationship with God. Your heart longs for a deeper heart connection with him. That your heart longs for a deeper revelation of God the Father's love for you. And if that's you, I also want to invite you to respond during this next song by coming forward. Don't be scared, we're a family, we just want to come and pray for you and encourage you and hug you and journey with you. Okay, so this is for you guys.